Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Speaking of Kevin McCarthy, here's another reason why he's never going to be speaker. No matter how he tries to suck up to the right wing, to Trump, and to the Freedom Caucus. Mark Meadows, remember him? Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows, a congressman from North Carolina. Trump tapped him to be chief of staff. Now Mark Meadows is in deep trouble. Mark Meadows is blown off a congressional subpoena. He will be indicted. And then he will be like Steve Bannon. And then he's got to hope that somehow the Republicans take the Congress this next time and withdraw the subpoenas. Although technically, once you commit a contempt, the fact that the underlying subject of the contempt later was changed doesn't change the contempt. I don't know if Merrick Garland, I know he knows that. I don't know if Merrick Garland will have the guts to go through with that, but Mark Meadows, in most polite eyes, is toast. Well, yesterday he attacked Kevin McCarthy. He attacked Kevin McCarthy. And here's what Mark Meadows said, believe it or not, quote, Kevin McCarthy will never be speaker. Donald Trump should be the speaker. Now, wait a minute, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not in Congress. So how can he be the speaker? A very, very not well-known fact is that the Speaker of the House does not have to be an elected congressman, doesn't have to be a member of Congress. If the majority loses its mind and wants to elect somebody who's not in Congress, they can do that. What Meadows is saying is if the Republicans take the House back, they should get together and put in Donald Trump as the Speaker of the House. Now, if you can imagine Nancy Pelosi ceremonially turning over the gavel to Donald Trump, when pigs fly. And Nancy Pelosi, if she turned it over, Trump would attack her with it. Kevin McCarthy has already suggested he'd like to hit her with it, hit her in the head with it. So that ain't going to happen. I do not think, frankly, the House of Representatives is going to vote, and I'm talking about the Republicans, if they ever get in the majority, for a guy who is not a member of Congress to be the Speaker. They're too proud. They're too vain. They're too greedy. They won't do it. But the idea is, Meadows' idea is, if you put Trump in there, then he has a bully pulpit. Then he has a talking point. And when Trump's been asked about that in the past, because other people have suggested it, he said, well, it's interesting. He hasn't ruled it out. Now, the difference between those other incidents and this is Mark Meadows, it was his chief of staff. Mark Meadows was a member of Congress, and Mark Meadows is in the news, and he's in deep doo-doo. So everything that attaches to Trump, to McCarthy, to the Republican Party is perverse in some respects, is diseased in some respects, and this is very much of a piece. Very, very much of a piece. One piece, I suppose, of good news, good Thanksgiving news. I kind of like this one a lot, actually. Joe Biden has announced that he will pardon two turkeys. And who are they? No, it's not Moscow Mitch and Crooked Kevin McCarthy. No, not them. They're from Indiana. Okay. No, it's not Mike Braun, the Republican senator and the chairman of the Indiana Republican Party. It's not them either. There are two turkeys in Indiana named Peanut Butter and Jelly. And Joe Biden will pardon Peanut Butter and Jelly. The first president to get a turkey as a gift was John F. Kennedy, 60 years ago. John F. Kennedy got the first one. And every president since has gotten a turkey. And every president since, up until George W. Bush, has cooked the turkey and had a wonderful dinner. George W. Bush was the first president who pardoned the turkey. And he did it largely as a photo op because he wasn't doing well in the polls. So there you have the history of turkeys and who got et. Who got et. And Bush is the guy who pardoned the turkey for the first time. One other piece of good news going into the Thanksgiving weekend. The governor race in Texas is white hot, and it right now, Beto O'Rourke has announced that he is running for governor of Texas against Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott has a problem in his own party. He's being opposed by a right-wing nut. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, that's a little redundant, isn't it? Greg Abbott is a white right-wing nut, and yes, he is, but there are some that are even more more transparent about it, and kind of more pathological in their public expression. And the odds are that Abbott wins the primary, but he's going to be hit on the right. Beto O'Rourke raised $2 million in the first 24 hours after his announcement. It's a lot of money, $2 million. There were 31,000 contributors to him in 24 hours, and 57% of them are from Texas. So it's not a bunch of out-of-state, majority out-of-state money for Beto O'Rourke. I think he's been obviously benefited. He's been benefited by his high-profile presidential campaign. I think his reinserting himself in a leadership position in the Democratic Party nationally. If he manages to bump off Greg Abbott, because sometimes governorships are counterintuitive and they go counter to trends. People, when they're voting for a governor, they're voting for an executive. They're voting for fiscal responsibility. They're voting for a manager as well as an ideologue. So it's going to be an uphill battle. Greg Abbott, in his war chest right now, has $55 million. $55 million from right-wing interests around the country. He can be on 24/7 TV statewide in Texas as long as he wants. The polls also right now show him with a lead, something like an 11-point lead, but part of that is he's the governor. He's the incumbent. He has the greater name recognition. O'Rourke has good name recognition from the presidential race, but that's been a while ago now in everybody's mind, whereas Abbott is in the paper every day for governor type thing. So stand by. I think that this is a race. If we hadn't gotten somebody like O'Rourke as the candidate, there'd be very, very little chance down there. I mean, it is a red state, and a disturbing state, and a violent state. And I'm not just talking about the JFK assassination a long time ago. I'm talking about back in September, the Democratic Party headquarters in Austin was firebombed. And by firebombed is a Molotov cocktail. And there was a note that said, this is a sign of things to come. So the kind of firebombing where you could have destroyed it if you wanted to. It was a sadistic little warning is what it was. And there is a sentiment down there, unlike in, say, Wisconsin. There are people here who, say, want a Republican, but they're not as pathological about it. Although I don't know why I said that. The people who kidnapped Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan were going to bring her. They trained up just north of Dane County, and they were going to bring her to a cabin up north in Wisconsin. So we have our share of nuts, too, okay? But down there, they're sort of professional-grade nuts. And Beto O'Rourke is going to be a good field general. I think he has courage. I think he is going to, he'll stand up to Abbott, and he'll stand up to the Republican Party. But be aware, look out for dirty tricks down there. Be aware of intimidation of voters, and their voter suppression laws are what, if that delivers anything to Abbott, that's what delivers it. I think our people are motivated down there, and I have high hopes for Beto O'Rourke. We're going to break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.